You are listening to Journeys on Revolution Radio on freedomslips.com and simulcast with wolfspiritradio.com. Join JP, your tour guide today, on this journey of discovery from the known to the unknown in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth.
Hello, everybody. This is the second day of February. It is Groundhog Day once again. And it's Journeys with JP on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, a 120% listener-supported. We need a bit extra this month, so please buy some seed packs. This is the right time of year to buy the seed pack from Nighthawk, so do dig in with there and... Fork out for a bit of heritage seed, and they'll last 25 years in the freezer, and it's great. It's a really good value. It's a good gift to everybody. So what's good for Revolution Radio, good for everybody else, and good for the planet, and good for your tummy, and better than everything else. So please buy that and support the station. And not only that, we're on wolfspiritradio.com. And that is also listener-supported, subscriber-supported. We have a vast archive of amazing stuff that you can listen to over and over and over again. You can download for no extra cost. You join, it's $5 a month. That's really cheap. And then Ever Beyond Radio and my personal archives are completely free. I've got video archives. I've got, stuff on Ever Beyond Radio. I got my personal channelings archive called crownbasetransmissions.com. So it's all here. This is JP. This is Journeys with JP. And my guest tonight, at least for the first half hour, the first half of the show, which is an hour long, is my dear, dear, dear friend, Katie Galanti. Good evening. How are you? Good afternoon. It's good afternoon now. It's a good evening. Ah, hello. Hello. What's up?
Hello, JP.
Well, there you are. You're all the way over in San Diego.
I know, and it's just about to be sunset here. The sun is just about to go down.
Uh-huh, and the crickets are going...
a little wintry for the crickets, but yes, this would be the cricket time as well. Although here it always feels like it's not winter. There actually is a winter. It's just doesn't look like a normal winter.
That's lovely. I mean, it must be great to spend a place when it's December and February and it's still and beautiful sunsets and palm trees and that. Go and get me a pina colada. Yeah,
like it's first night. As soon as the sun goes down, that's why there's no crickets at the moment, because as soon as the sun goes down, it gets really, really cold. That's kind of like the... Because here, even if it's at the beach, so there's a microclimate inside the microclimate, we're actually very close to the desert, so there's that kind of dry heat during the day, which is really nice in the winter because it's really clear. And then as soon as the sun goes down, it's like ice time. You have to put the stove on and everything to keep warm. And then during the day, you're like in short sleeves and it's 80 degrees.
So it's like living on the moon a bit, isn't it? Like, extremes of weather, yeah.
The body gets a little confused.
Yeah.
So you actually manage to still get a cold because of the temperature drops and stuff, right? So... I like winter here, though. It's nice. It's not too cold and beautiful sunsets at the beach. Right.
So, sunsets at the beach. We're getting a strange background sound.
It could be I'm actually listening to see if it's my laptop, and it isn't. But I was thinking it could be the laptop. Sometimes when there's this kind of interference, this is the kind of interference that I get when I do sessions, when I remove the demonics from people. If somebody has a lot of demonic beings attached to them, there's this kind of noise. So maybe we have some friends that are listening from other dimensions.
Yeah. By the way, everybody who's listening to this, due to a kind of monadic confluence, which creates a kind of vortex. If you're listening to this, you're gonna be healed, because it's part of our soul group purpose. Anybody who understands that, or anybody who thinks that's like weird, don't worry, we're used to it.
In fact, we can even set it up so that, because we're going to talk about the usual dark stuff,
yeah,
which I think is why we have the interdimensional listeners.
That's right.
That we can set it up so that at the end we can have a 5-minute cleanup session, okay? And
yes.
Which is good for us, but it's also good for the planet, because I actually just looked at the planetary energy. And in fact, I'll talk, I have a couple of things on my agenda for tonight, then you will have yours, and we'll conflue our agendas, right? But the one on my end is basically to just go over the Super Bowl ritual from last night.
Right. And it's getting really bad, by the way, Katie.
It is, I know. Yeah. Okay, let's focus a second, and let's see if we can shut these guys out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
And as I told you, I've had a very difficult day today, and I also had a black widow climb on me about an hour before the show. So I know that I get on the radar of this particular kind of energy when around these particular kind of times. So it may be coming from my end. So let's.
Okay. Yeah. Let's look at that.
Okay. Is it going down?
Yeah, it seems to be when I speak, it kind of goes down. So maybe it needs some calming. So we'll dialogue for a while, and then you can launch pad off, because it's been the weekend of the big Super Bowl, and everybody's been saying, oh yeah, what kind of false flag? Is there going to be a bomb there? Is there going to be a UFO? Is Pete Carroll going to be beamed up into the mothership? You know, what the heck's going on? And then, is there going to be like the Whore of Babylon riding onto the stage on an effigy of the beast? You know, is it going to be that kind of crap this year? So what happened, Katie?
Well, the Whore of Babylon did ride on the beast.
No, really?
Yeah. Now, the thing that I think is interesting is that, first of all, let's place the Super Bowl inside of, like, Super Bowl is a time in which there's a big audience. I think it's the biggest, the most watched show on the planet at any time, which is why there's all the advertisers with big advertising and so on, which are part of the ritual as well. And it seems the Dark Elite uses the Super Bowl to set the, it's almost like their New Year's ritual. They kind of set the plan for the year, and it opens up with the Super Bowl, and it usually closes up with the Grammys, right? Which are next Sunday, by the way, so we can cover that as well afterwards if you want to. And usually it comes with the sacrifice, and the sacrifice that comes around this time is often the pre-sacrifice. The energy that is gathered at this ritual is also then used to funnel into the next ritual that is the Grammys, okay? So this is a really kind of hot time from a ritual perspective. There's many different things going on at the same time. There's the setting of the agenda for the year. It's the in bulk. It's always around in bulk, which is the rebirth, the seeding of spring and the rebirth of the goddess, right? Both of those are go on that are associated with in bulk. Okay, and if you look at it, the Super Bowl almost always is some kind of goddess ceremony, right? Now, in fact, if you go back to 2012, it was all about Isis, right? The Madonna that was doing the whole Isis thing. And if you go and you track every one of the Super Bowls, there's some kind of goddess ritual going down, either a positive one or a negative one or whatever. It doesn't matter what kind of imagery they're using, but that is kind of the energy that they're pulling in. Now, this year, everybody was kind of looking into it and looking forward to it in some ways. It was kind of interesting because it was almost like people were like, yeah, okay, let's see. Everybody was like on it, right? And it was interesting because I've never quite seen that before. And I think they almost toned it down to some degree so that we would not get what we wanted, right? So it was a little less blatant, I think, apart from the big lion with the, you know, the harlot on it, which is a reference. There's many references in that. So let's start from the beginning. So Katy Perry, she was chosen. I think it's already interesting the fact that she was chosen for this year, because I think that it was a personal rite of passage for her. It's almost like she ascended from being a B-level priestess starlet to A-level priestess starlet. She's now in the same category as Beyoncé and Madonna, okay? And if you go back to the summer, she nominated Madonna as her Icy's Bucket Challenge person. So there was already some kind of interchange between her and Madonna. And all of those Ice Bucket Challenge nominations had to do, they were hierarchical. It was like people were nominating people that were either just above them or just below them in the rank. There was some kind of initiation kind of practice going on there, okay? So she was already pulling in the High Priestess Madonna energy through the Ice Bucket Challenge. Then very soon after that, I think it was literally days after that, she gets nominated for as the next person that's going to be the star for the Super Bowl. And so she's the leader of the ritual. She is somebody that has been doing the Illuminati bidding for quite some time. If you go and have a look at her history, it seems that she's been playing the Illuminati game for at least until from when she was 15. And even then, even the first album that she made when she was 15, which is already unusual for a 15-year-old to actually manage to get an album done, means that there's some kind of industry tie. Do you know what I mean? Like, you just don't manage to do that kind of stuff. And if we remember, John Todd said that anybody that actually manages to get an album done with any of the significant labels is basically an initiate of some kind, of their kind, right? We are initiates too, but of a different kind. So she's somebody that's been in the game for quite some time, and last year she was already participating in the Grammys with her Dark Horse song that was all about the Dark Horse of the Apocalypse, and that was bringing in the agenda of last year that had all to do with horse symbolism. And a lot of it seemed to be about conjuring up the energy of death, and the energy of death through war, the energy of death through possibly the Ebola thing, or the energy of death period, just bringing that energy in, not necessarily with any kind of definite manifestation. Now, if you go and have a look at the 2015, I think it's the first thing of The Economist for 2015, The Economist being the Fabian Society, magazine manifesto. Their front cover at the moment is full. They almost have a Sgt. Pepper's kind of front cover to their magazine that is called The World in 2015. And even in that cover, there's a lot of stuff that kind of shows that their agenda is still conflict. They have a split earth. With one part that is really angry, that is the east part, that would be China, and the other part is looking really snobbish and indifferent. It would be America. So they're still kind of trying to pull in some polarizing energies, and there's also a mushroom cloud on there. And so the energies that are being evoked by these people are still kind of death and polarization of, to some degree. Okay. Now, in this one, when the Super Bowl starts, Katy Perry comes in and she's dressed in a dress of fire and she's riding a lion. And if you go into the Aleister Crowley deck, and Freeman was talking about this yesterday, the card that usually in the tarot is called strength is actually called lust, and it's a woman that is riding a lion. In the woman riding a lion also comes from Revelation, and it is the basically the whore of Babylon that rides the beast. That is actually the beginning, if I remember correctly, it's like the sign of the beginning of the apocalypse, and from the New World Order point of view, it would be this, the beginning of the New World Order, right? So basically, just by that picture alone, let's say that we hadn't seen anything about that, anything else in the Super Bowl, just by that picture alone, we are looking at an announcement that they are ready to roll in whatever it is that they're, you know, that whatever the apocalypse and Revelation represent to them, they're in the opening act of that. Okay. And we don't know exactly what that is, but that's what that symbol kind of represents. Okay. Now, the other thing that is interesting is that in the Bible, there's a verse that says, be sober, be vigilant, as your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking who he may devour. So the roaring lion in the Bible is Satan, right? Satan, Lucifer, whatever. Let's call him Satan for the moment, because we're referring to proper biblical stuff, okay? And what is the song that she's singing while she's coming in on the big chunky lion? It's called Raw. Okay, that's a song that that's a Katy Perry song, and that's what she's singing. So basically, she's coming in with a roaring lion. So she's telling you that she's coming in on Satan. We knew this already because the lion has the red beady eyes. just like the red beady eyes of the dark horse of the apocalypse. So she's upgraded. First of all, she was riding the dark horse of the apocalypse in the Grammys last year, and now she's riding the roaring lion, right? That is Satan himself, okay? Now, the other thing that I think is interesting about that scene is that she is wearing a red flaming dress, right? And we will see later that this does have some significance. But one of the first things that I think struck a lot of people is that she looks like the girl in The Hunger Games. Do you remember that, JP? Did you see that movie?
I haven't seen the movie, but yeah, I can understand that they'll be pushing that kind of meme.
Yeah, it's like there's the movie, the second movie of The Hunger Games is actually called Catching Fire. And at the end, her dress becomes a dress of fire. And in that movie, we have the last movie appearance of, or at least big movie appearance of Philip Senior Hoffman. Okay.
Hang on a second, Katie. Let me just speak to your computer a little bit. Computer, it's all right. You can stop squealing now. There we go. All right. So, okay. Philip Seymour Hoffman.
It's not the computer. It's the energy. Okay. Yeah, you have to talk to the energy.
I'm talking to the djinn in the computer, yeah, the energy.
The computer just does this when the energy is around, okay? That's right. Okay. So, this is a very... Can you still hear me?
You're coming through perfectly now.
Okay, excellent. This is a very common thing that they do in linking rituals, right? the Hunger Games was part of the Sandy Hook story, right? Because the author of the Hunger Games actually came from Sandy Hook. Here we have it again, the noise, right?
That's right, here we go again.
Yeah, it's not from my computer, I'm telling you. This is interference, okay? So so they're connecting rituals. The Hunger Games was also present with the Santa Barbara shooting. So they often do this, that they link rituals together and they pull them in, they pull the narrative from other stuff into something else. And it's almost like that way they manage to pull in all of the energy, right? And they did that, for example, a lot with the whole Batman thing, right? And yeah, so that is basically the opening scene of the ritual, right? And then after that, it goes into the usual chessboard and chess pieces. It's almost hard for me to concentrate. Let me just see if I can pull this. If I can work with this energy, okay?
Can I call you on a telephone? I mean,
yes,
don't tell me that. Don't tell me over the air. But I can call you on a landline or something?
Yeah.
Or let me just call you back from Skype and see if that does anything, and then we'll do this. So I'm just going to drop you there, and there. That's interesting. Oh, that's calm. That's better now. Okay, so then we'll bring Katie back into the call.
Okay, hello.
It still sounds like you're on a building site.
Well, let's try. Okay.
Keep going.
I tell you, this happens every now and then. I recognize this phenomenon. it's annoying. We have visitors. All right, but it also means that we are saying something that matters to them somehow, that talking about this matters to them somehow, right?
Okay, so let's remain focused. So we have the opening scene. So essentially, she's invoking certain energies, like the energy of the Hunger Games is this kind of do-or-die competition, last-ditch attempt, kind of desperate kind of energy, isn't it?
It is.
So it's invoking a real sense of panic in people.
Yeah, and also it's invoking the Hunger Games, like fun and games where everybody dies at the end apart from who wins. Right? You know, so it's almost like the new world. You can imagine this being the new world. It's almost like a futuristic new world in which there's the people that are at the top, and then there's the other people from all the other districts that have to enter this game just in order to survive, and then they have to go against each other to survive. It's a very Luciferian kind of dystopic world, right? So she's bringing in that energy, but she's also bringing in the energy of prior rituals, okay? Because the Santa Barbara shooting was a ritual, Sandy Hook was a ritual. Everything that is connected to that Hunger Game energy will be brought in, and so you will have that energy coming in, okay? Now, that opening scene in some ways was the only part where there was a true invocation of energies going on.
Mm-hmm.
It was more a little bit like the Olympics where they show you this clock, right? And so the next piece was chessboard and chess pieces. Some people that I have, there's been a lot of stuff online already about this, and they're saying it's the new world where everybody is going to be like chess pieces on the
chessboard.
Hang
on, we've lost you. We've lost you now, Katie. Try again.
Okay.
So you're talking about, can you try maybe speaking closer to the mic or something?
Okay, yeah. Let's do that. Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, well, you're louder than the background sound anyway, yeah.
Okay, can you hear me now? Let's see.
Yeah, but as I said, it's the massive background. Anyway, look, let's just persevere.
Do it anyway, okay? Yeah, I'm sorry about this. So the I was talking about the chessboard, right? Chessboard pieces.
Chessboard. Yeah. So there she was on the black and white board, which is not only a chessboard, but it's also the like the Masonic temple layout as well.
That's right. And in fact, at some point, two of these chessboard pieces. Basically, the thing. First of all, you see the chessboard. Then the chessboard pieces come up. Then the whole thing morphs into a pyramid without a capstone. And then some of the chessboard pieces go on top of the pyramid and they stand side by side. And then Peter Perry comes in and walks in between them. The two chessboard pieces side by side on the checkered floor, that's basically Masonic temple symbolism. It's the two columns and the checkboard floor, and she, because she's dressed in fire, she's like the sun coming in, which in the Luciferian version of the Masonic thing is like Lucifer coming in. Okay, so again you have the energy of the satanic energy coming in through the two columns on the chessboard floor.
Okay, can you give it a whack? just give it a slap, you know, just not too hard, but just a slap, just kind of correct it, because it's really very, very loud compared with your voice. So I don't know what I can do. I can, you know, I can call you on a landline and Skype and stuff if it does get to that. But anyway, please carry on. So she's on the chessboard, and that's the Luciferic game playing out. All the pieces being put into place, they're saying, aren't they?
That's right. So, like, we're putting all the pieces, all the pawns and the pieces are going where they need to go. And then as they're doing that, they have the rising of the pyramid, right? So the pyramid is rising. That is the New World Order in some ways, right? But then that becomes the basis of the floor for the entry of the flame Luciferian type energy that comes in through the two pillars. And they're telling you two things: that she's a priestess, she's coming through the two pillars, that she's aligned with the Masonic energy, and that she's bringing through the Luciferian energy that way. Okay,
the other thing that I'm also thinking is that normally the priestess is supposed to be blonde, isn't she? The high priestess is a blonde, is in these satanic things, seems to be blonde, you know, the whole Jimmy Savile thing. But Katy Perry is herself the dark horse, because she's a brunette. And is there something to do with hair color in all this? I mean, I'm sure everything is significant.
Well, she's the dark, in some ways she's wearing the energy of the harlot, right? Like, she's wearing the whore energy. So I'm sure that has some significance, but the, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that, right? But it's a good thought to ponder. Because she wears a lot of wigs, so she could have come in blonde if she wanted to. Although I think the black is her signature look, right? Most of the time she has the black hair.
Yeah, that old sort of Cleopatra look. So there she is. Hello. Yeah, there's something going on with your machine, because it's like I'm hearing myself coming back, and that's what's causing the feedback.
Right.
We'll have to have a look at that. See, we don't have a break at half hour, which we could have had a look at. Anyway, so there we are. So part two is she's in the game. She's on the game. She's the dark seductress, the dark horse on the chessboard. Was she the queen? Was she the bishop? What was the chess significance there? Or was that there?
I don't know. I think that by the time she comes in, she's the high priestess. By the time she comes in, she's walking through the two pillars. And so she's the high priestess. And even in the next card, I'm calling it card because they're like tarot cards.
That's right. They were very much like what am I talking about? I haven't even seen it. But it just sounds like that's what they were, you know. Looking at the Crowley deck, that was just like what she was on.
Yeah, this was like, her appearance in this scene was like if you have a look at the traditional card for the High Priestess, you will see the Masonic floor, the two pillars, and the High Priestess that sits in between. Now, she's not sitting, but she's appearing through it. You also see the fire that illuminates the two columns coming in. Okay? So she's got the whole imagery of the High Priestess coming in that picture. And as we know, they overlap the stuff so that we have more than one, you can have more than one meaning in one bunch of symbols. Okay, let me just focus a second here. Let's see if we can push these energies out again. The thing is, when I'm talking, I have a hard time pushing them out.
Okay, so this is demonstrating that we are getting some, this is pushing some energy out that is being resisted from it going out. So we'll just say it slowly, and I'll repeat it, and we'll see if we can get the energy out as cleanly as possible. So Act 3, coming through the pillars with the as the high priest, high priestess.
Yes, there's a scene in which all of the fire kind of burns, you know, it's all this fire that often is associated with the demonic, the fire. There's six jets of fire, and there's Lenny Kravitz that performs, and some people out there are saying that he's playing the role of Lucifer when he does this performance, and she kneels right in front of him, right? I'm not sure about that piece. It didn't click with me, but, you know, everybody sees their different things, so I'm trusting some of the researchers that saw that, okay? So, because it's in tune with what everybody is saying, that she would do the kneeling down and everything. And then, after that, okay, in the middle of this, she's singing the songs Dark Horse and I Kissed a Girl, right? And this is kind of significant because if you remember the initiation of Britney and Christina Aguilera, in which Madonna kissed them both publicly.
That's right. Right. Very much reminds you of the Don of the Mafia kissing the inferiors. Indeed, Madonna, you know, what's going on here? Is there Mafia stuff going on? I mean, she's Italian, isn't she? I wonder what Perry was before.
She is a high priestess in the system, and as far as I'm aware, she's really up there. Like, if not number one, she's number two kind of thing in the whole Hollywood high priestess type of deal, at least as far as the music industry is concerned. So, but there's something about the ritualistic kiss that between female to female that has something to do with the passing of the baton of the high priestess or the initiation of the high priestess, okay? In fact, earlier, either last year or the year before, Miley Cyrus makes she goes out of her way to kiss Katy Perry in public on the lips, and there was a big hoo-ha about it, and, you know, one could say that they were just messing around, but it was very deliberate. And again, it's that there's something to that, okay? You would have to be part of the Masonic system to understand that. The energy is back, isn't it? With a vengeance. Let's just
yes,
keep it up.
Draping away.
Yep.
It's look, we'll try and.
I'll keep going for another 15 minutes, then you can boot me off.
All right, let's just try and reset the call. One more time, okay? I'm just going to reset your call, and we'll see what we can do. And, oh, it's all nice and quiet. Yes. And then, when Katie answers, yes, well, start talking now.
Hello? Okay, let's try again. Lorraine?
Indeed. Okay. Indeed, let's start now.
Now, you understand that this is demonic energy, right? Like, it's not computers.
Okay.
Okay. I can actually feel them pushing into my body right now. Like, that's why it's almost hard to speak, because they're pressing in, right? And because I'm talking, I can't beat them up.
Yes.
Yeah. But I will beat them up later. They're only getting a 10-minute reprieve.
People have got to know that you don't make this stuff up. You are actually like a proper trained exorcist, and you don't think you make many friends if you do that kind of thing, do you?
I had one client with which this kind of interference used to happen all the time. Eventually, during one session, all of my appliances that turned on all at the same time, just in case there was any doubts. Do you know what I mean? Like the coffee thing, the toaster, the blender, the washing machine, like everything.
and the little monkey toy with his that always clings, yeah. Little ding 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 ding.
The blender was not even plugged in. That was even more freaky.
See, I haven't got that music. I'm building up some jingles, right? I just want to give you hit this up some fun. I got a dream jingle. Here, check this one out. I'll fade it up again. I'll do it right there. Here we go. Hello. Where's it playing? Uh-huh. It's supposed to be F2. Diddle in there. No. Oh well. That's a bunch of rubbish. I'm supposed to have these jingles that do things like this.
Jingly things.
Yeah. But that's not happening unless, somebody's hearing it. That's right. Yeah, Wolf Spirit Radio listeners heard it, but it goes like this. There. And now we've arrived in a different place, you see. Or we can go... Meanwhile, back at Katie Perry, and right. she's done the High Priestess. She's walked through the pillars of Boaz and Joachim, of justice and mercy, and she now faces the flames of something. And then what happens?
Yeah, and then she does the kiss the girl thing that we've talked about already. And then she ends up in this beach scene that looks as if it's something for children, right? And there's like sharks that are dancing and beach balls that are bouncing, right? And one of the songs that is playing with that is the California Girls, which sounds pretty innocent, but if you look at the original video of California Girls, it's a big MK Ultra extravaganza with Snoop Dogg that plays the part of Lucifer, okay? So if you go and actually have a look at California Girls, at the end, she has got the whole Baphomet suit on and everything. So even if they're not playing the imagery of California Girls, that is a song that has a lot of symbolism and stuff attached to it. You would not know it if you had not already looked at it, right? But it's there big time. It's like, you can have a look at it online. You can just put in California Girls, Katy Perry, Illuminati, you will get...
That's right. That's like, this is what we're saying. When you're saying you have eyes to see, that for those that have eyes to see, if you understand the framework, you can see how it's a formula that is unfolding event by event on a large scale. And people are stuck in the tiny minutiae of like, oh, well, what colour was the surface of the bathwater? You know, stuff. Anyway, go ahead.
I think one of the things about California Girls is, this is what I mean when I say that they pull in ritual. It's almost like a Russian Dolls ritual, right? Like they've got a ritual, but then they pull in other ones that they've already done, right? They pull in the energy. The California Girls video, Snoop Dogg plays Lucifer, and Snoop Dogg is connected to Tupac, and many think that Tupac was the Snoop Dogg's sacrifice, blah, 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 blah. Do you know what I mean? You can go on and on and on, right? So, then after that, this artist called Missy Elliott comes in, who is a rapper. She hasn't been around for quite some time, so they kind of went and dug out a rapper that is not necessarily on the circuit right now. She is known recently for having married her girlfriend, so she is known as a lesbian rapper. There's nothing wrong with being a lesbian, but it's interesting how the theme of the girl on girl keeps going through this ritual. And Mark Gray, you know the guy Mark Gray that does a lot of this kind of stuff with symbolism?
Hang on, I'm losing you again. I'm just going to reflect back that we had Missy Elliott now comes in as presumably the new initiate, ready to have the baton passed to her. As Madonna passed to the other two, she's passing to two more, isn't it?
Yes, it could be that. We'll see what happens to her, because she hasn't actually been around very much, Missy Elliott. She is somebody that was really famous in the 90s, apparently, in the beginning of the 90s, as a strong female rapper. It's kind of interesting that they pull her in, and I think that one of the reasons which they pulled her in is because she is a declared lesbian rapper, okay? And there's something about this ritual in which they're pulling in a lot of that girl-on-girl kind of energy. And if I was less disturbed by all the interference, I could even pull that thread through, but you'll have to just trust me on it. Okay.
Well, there is a thing about the whole LGBT... hang on a second.
LGBT.
LGBT. It sounds like some kind of paint. I don't know why. There is this there's a female lesbian military network called the FemComp, which is behind a lot of the false flag activity, because this group were the military women who were involved, you know, like in the days like Uhura, that there are a lot of like women signal intelligence officers and things like that. So the people doing the communications, the switchboard, and all of that. And it's gradually become a sort of separate corporation that is a kind of women only one. They're part of the underlying industry that is. Supporting the false flags. Unreported kind of idea, but there's something going on there. And they are the people that held the football during 9/11, the famed football thing, the atomic key.
That
the president didn't have it; they had it. There's definitely a kind of lesbian domination thing going on.
Yeah, and I was saying about Mark Gray, the guy that he's on Facebook. I think his proper website is called Cosmic Doorways. And I like to quote people if I use their work. So today I'm quoting Freeman for the Horror of Babylon, and Mark Gray for this piece. Okay. Where he says that alongside Horror of Babylon imagery, the lady on the lion is also the image for this Roman goddess that was called Cybele, and Sybil, or something like that, and that she was characterized by having a transgender homosexual priesthood, like that was it. That was their thing. Do you know what I mean? And they must have had their reasons for that. But that was one of the traits of this particular goddess. Right. So that's kind of interesting that theme is there.
Hang on a second. So, because you're still not very clear. Katie, can you while I'm talking, can you type a telephone number, a cell phone number? It doesn't matter. Cost no object. We want to hear. You've got great information. You're being terribly interfered with. So let's try a different way. And if you can, just drop your thing in there while I talk. What I was getting from that was that there is a kind of lesbian god thing that there is a contingent with. I'll just. Are we there? Excellent, excellent. Okay, I'll just call you on your phone and
let me hang up then.
Yeah, hang on a second. Let's just do that while I pop that in. Plus one, control V, return. There we go. Add you to the call. Do do do. You should be hearing us on the telephone. There we go. Thank you very much. Oh, wow.
Hello.
Oh, my gosh. This is like, hello.
Can you hear me now?
You're in the room with me. It's amazing. It's amazing you're in the room with me. Here we go. Oh, it's much more. Oh, phew. Oh,
okay. Oh,
why didn't we do that in the beginning?
In some ways, I'm kind of happy that these energies have showed up because I have had the day from hell, right?
Oh, bless her.
Literally feeling really almost like jumping out of my skin, and now I know why, because I've got all of this energy that's trying to beat me up. Right? Sometimes I can't, you know what I mean, I don't know if it's me or the solar flares or whatever. Right? But now I know it's them, they showed up on air. Right? So I know I have to do some significant pushing out.
That's right, so so I'm just sending some feedback back to Skype. Yeah. That was it.
All right,
that was
so
the word, the call from
hell.
You're absolutely wall to wall. It's lovely. It's kind of cozy, warm sounding.
Okay.
So yeah. Okay. So we're just talking about the kind of lesbian goddess thing. So what's the name of this lesbian goddess?
Okay. Then it's not a lesbian goddess, but it's a goddess that has a lesbian following.
Oh, right, yeah, one of those.
The goddess
right.
herself, we don't know.
It's like it's a little PJ Harvey of goddesses.
But she has, her posse is lesbian. Lesbians and transvestites for her.
Uh-huh, like Annie Lennox, yeah.
And apparently it's a Roman goddess that was also around in Greece that is called Sibyl, and as we know, or Sibel, or something like that, and this info comes from Mark Gray, he's the one that dug it up, and apparently the imagery for this particular goddess is that it's the goddess that is riding a lion. So the lion has many different meanings, right? And somebody was even saying that it's the usual kitten programming, also showing up with a very large kitten, like ultra-sized kitten for you. But I think it's safe to say that with the big red eyes and everything, we're looking at some kind of demonic kitten here, you know what I mean? And that a biblical reference to the roaring lion, especially because of the song Roar that is coming with her, I think is the primary meaning for this image, and then there may be overlaps with other meanings because they like to kill more than one bird. With one,
they do love a twofer.
Kill a bird? What do they do?
they love killing their birds. Yeah, and with very few stones. Yeah, that's the skill.
Very few stones with many images.
Exactly, exactly. Magic bullets. Get down with the magic bullets. You know, I often wonder, or I've started to wonder, if each, you know, we're talking about these initiations, so that there's some part of the choreography of the whole thing, even if it is a false flag operation, that is like, for instance, there was one where they were talking about Prince William was kind of flying over this thing, and I was thinking, I wonder if this is like a kind of military initiation, like this is his first hunt, is his first false flag. Oh, bless his heart, it's his first false flag. Yeah. So there's a kind of everybody who takes part in it, it's like an enormous an enormous kind of pantomime that everybody has their part to play at some point in the line.
Absolutely, and I think it's significant who they call in to play. I think it's always a sign that they're going up in the world when they get pulled in one way or another. Either they're going up in the world or they're going out, like they're going to be sacrificed, one or the other.
Yeah, yeah. You only do this
you're
twice in your life, one while away, and it's good to be back. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I have to laugh at this stuff. I mean, it's not funny. But
the light side of the dark. No. Like we always say, you know, the light side of the dark side. Katie and I have been indeed talking about this in great detail over the last couple of years. And
2 years. I think the first time you and I did a show on this was 2012 for the Super Bowl. That's when we started.
Yeah.
We didn't have our own show. I was coming on as a guest at the time. Mm. And I'm a guest right now. I have to remember I'm a guest also.
That's all right. You know, your family. See, this is the thing. We've been doing this broadcasting lark for a few years now. So we're very, very used to each other. You know, it's like, yes. How come they're so casual together? It's, you know, we're just old friends. That's all right.
That's right.
But, that we have also experienced these ups and downs, and it feels like we're all, when I say we all, we have a group of friends who we all seem to feel the same things are going on for us. We get these mm-hmm. same expressions, maybe in our own individual ways, but it feels like, for instance, for the last 3 years, we've been sort of ground through a pepper mill and going through literally Groundhog Day for the last 3 years, and now here we are back again, and it's time to be, I think, impeccable, because that's the whole you know, Sean's been talking about this, Sean David Morton on the show before us has been saying that Groundhog Day is a primarily Buddhist film. It's about reincarnation, and it's about starting out life as an a-hole and ending up as actually a really good person, actually ending up playing the role of a god in the local town, mm-hmm. but an right. omnipotent, omnipresent being. So it's the journey. Today is our initiation. We have an opportunity for initiation and going up in the world somehow.
And energetically, anybody else out there is going through a hard time, just know that hang in there until mid-end of March, then we should be in a different zone after that. We're finishing up a big, chunky-ass cycle right now. Okay? So just hang in there. Whatever's going on with you, just hang in there. 6 weeks. 6 more weeks.
Until the 12th of never. Until it's the day before my birthday, right? Because it's burnt into my memory, the last bloody Uranus. You know what it feels like? It feels like, you know, an old-fashioned mangle, the roller of a mangle. You know, those things you put your clothing through to squeeze the water out. And all that's left is just the cloth, which is thin enough to go through the things. And it just feels like any kind of crunchy bit that you got as you go through this thing, it just gets crushed, and it kind of juts its way through your skin.
Either that gets crushed or you do, because resistance is futile.
That's right. And it just juts through the skin. So you have to, and the only thing that's holding the crystallization of these sharp bits is your own mind. And I hope by the time I get to there that there is almost nothing in my body, nothing in my three lower bodies, in my entire Merkaba, that is at all crystallized, that I'm just like a bag of liquid bliss. I'm just going to be a smoothie, and I'm going to pour myself through that mangle.
Green smoothie.
Yeah, because let me tell you, brothers and sisters, March the 17th, if you are not a smoothie, bits will jut out, because it's like, this is the thinnest one. It's like a roller that's been going backwards and forwards, and this is the Uranus-Pluto, and this is the shift of humanity, because we've been purified. It's like the pounding of the pestle. We've been purified from this very highly structured and judgmental and inflexible to a much more powdered state. what how have I put it like that? Because I mean, this is essentially the shows that we've been doing have been over this period, haven't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we started in 2012. I actually started doing radio at the beginning of the Prusurana Square. Because before that, I was writing a whole bunch, but I was writing mostly metaphysical articles. They were like how-to metaphysical articles, and I was writing some kind of expose stuff on the psychopharmaceutical deal and how they were messing up kids. But I did the darker research thing, although I'd been into it since 1999. And probably knew a lot of stuff before. Like, I already knew what was going on when 9/11 happened. I knew everything already that I know now, almost. Do you know what I mean? And how that happened, I'm not quite sure, but it just happened that way. But I wasn't really public with it until about the end of 2009, December 2009. And pretty much that's when the Prusurana Square started. And at the time, it was my guides that said, okay, you have to get out there. You have to start talking about this stuff. And I'm like, what? What? Who am I going to talk to? And then I've been talking. I've never shut up since.
Indeed, indeed. I mean, you're a great guest, Katie, because
I'm a slave to the higher realms.
Yeah, it's great because it's like you're kind of they're all standing behind you, whispering in your ear, and you're just like, hang on, stuck, you know, just come out with it, come out with it. And I can just sit back and listen and enjoy and drink tea, and I just love being on the show with you because and it's all great stuff. It just like slots more and more things into place, and I hope that does it. I mean, it does it for me. So we'll see what happens in the next few minutes.
Yep.
Don't go away. This is Journeys with JP. I'm speaking with Katie Galanti because now she's got a decent line.
Yeah.
Thank you, Skype.
Yeah.
All right. Yes, we are. Yes. Whoa, we are echoing. Well, yes, we are. We are not filleted at all. We have no fillets, and we have some limited staff. We are kind of skeleton staff and just fillets. So I suppose if you added a fillet to a skeleton staff, you get a whole thing. I'm just talking rubbish. You're talking serious stuff. I'm just talking rubbish. So my guest tonight, Katie Galanti, all the way from San Diego. Who was Saint Diego? How do you think about these things?
I
wonder.
Never looked into it.
Yeah. Diego, what's Diego? I'm going to have to think about it.
Maybe Francisco.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, Saint Francis. That's his. Yeah. Francisco. That's easy enough.
Who's Latino version?
Yeah. They're you know, they are Latins, you know, aren't they?
Yeah.
Well, you know, Italians sort of thing. Meanwhile,
he was Italian.
Meanwhile, meanwhile, hang on. Can we do a meanwhile? Yeah, we can do it meanwhile. we are back in the mystery world of satanic rituals. Yes. And I do love these. there was Katie. So card three was the kind of lesbian queen with, what was the name of the goddess, the lesbian, who's got the lesbian fans?
The one that has been fans is Cybele, C-Y-B-E-L-E.
Aha, uh-huh, Cybele, yes.
This is Mark Gray's research, okay? And, that was actually the overlap with the lion thing at the beginning. Then we have the chessboard with the high priestess and the Luciferian energy coming through. Katy Perry kneels in front of the guy who most likely represents Lucifer. And then we go into the next scene, that is the beach scene with the references to the California Girls thing, who is another song that has a Luciferian character, and all of the MK Ultra symbolism and the Saturn cubes and etc., etc. with Snoop Dogg, who is linked to the disappearance of Tupac, right? And so then we have Missy Elliott comes in, and she's the rapper. And so we did a little tiny background on her, and then what she actually did when she was singing is that she was singing two songs, and one song is called Work It, and the other one is called Get Your Freak On. Okay?
Get Your Freak On. Yes.
Yes.
Can we read out the lyrics in a very strong English accent?
Exactly.
Darling, baby, get your freak on.
The interesting thing is that was actually, my guides don't always talk to me when I'm doing this kind of work. Like, they kind of lead me to stuff, but it's not that I hear them necessarily all the time when I'm researching this kind of stuff. But this time they actually said really loud, read the words, okay, of these songs. And they're kind of disgusting. Right? I don't know if I want to read them out loud. Right? But basically, it's all very graphic. And in one of them, there's references to feeling people up and cunnilingus and shaving your down blows and all of that kind of stuff, right? And then in the other one, it's basically kind of like encouraging you to, you know, hit me, and then get your freak on, right? So it's kind of S&M-ish. And so both of those songs, you wouldn't think that they're like family time Super Bowl kind of songs, right? It's fairly heavy, and apparently while she was singing, they were actually bleeping out some of the words, and I was trying to actually listen to the words, but the volume was really low while she was singing, so I couldn't hear the words properly, and now I think they might have done that on purpose, because if people had actually caught on to exactly what it is that she was singing, maybe there would have been a hoo-ha on, you know, there would have been some people that would have said that's wrong to sing that on, you know, a show that probably a lot of children watch as well. Do you know what I mean? And so anyway, so that was the piece with Missy Elliott. The other interesting thing was that she was dressed in a way a little bit like Formula One drivers are dressed, and so were her dancers. You know, those suits that Formula One people wear to drive. And they were covered, all of the suits, they had stuff on them, so I was looking at what was on it. And exactly like often happens with the Formula One people, they were covered with corporate logos. And
a word from our sponsors.
That's right, but also a word from our satanic and Masonic logos, right? Because we know that most of those logos are carrying the kind of symbolism that we're talking about anyway, so there was tons of them. It was like there's all of these dancers that are moving, and each one of them has 20 or 30 of these logos on them, right? So whatever all of those logos mean, that energy was also incorporated, right?
Incorporated, so, boom, boom.
It's the incorporated corporate logos.
Fascinating.
And that is a very, you know, fast way to do it. You just put the whole logos over everybody, then you don't even need to invoke that much stuff. It's all just there. Right? And people don't even see what they are, right?
So anyway, it's kind of very much a macro ritual where they're invoking all the previous rituals, and they're bringing them all together,
right,
in one sheaf.
Which would make sense if you think about it, because this, if they're telling you right from the beginning that they're coming in with the horror of Babylon that starts the apocalypse, then they're kind of telling you that they're ready to roll, right? They've got all their chess pieces out, and, you know, they're kind of ready to roll as far as they're concerned. And timing-wise, it makes sense. Now, as we say in every single show that we do together, and even ones I do by myself, just the fact that these people have an agenda that they're trying to map out, and remember that these rituals, serve many purposes because they serve the purpose of downloading certain energies, although this was not necessarily a downloading ritual quite as much, okay? I'll talk about that later, because I went and had a look at this 1 hour before it started, and I was looking at the energy, and I did various things to kind of shut off whatever they were doing, which is probably why I have company today, okay? Again, I was hearing, I got a lot of psychic info when I was doing this work this time, and I was hearing that this was more of a transmitting ritual than a downloading ritual, right? That they were kind of transmitting out rather than bringing in. In the Olympics, they were bringing energy in. They were using the Olympics set up to literally open doorways to pull energy in, right? Well, instead, in this one, I wasn't seeing that so much, but I was seeing them transmitting out. And in fact, I was getting that there were being symbol transmissions. And I have seen these before when doing certain kinds of healing work that are associated with this kind of work, that sometimes they literally send energetic, symbolic imprints that attach themselves to people's chakras, like the third eye. Very often it's the third eye. And people go around with these, it's almost like an energetic symbolic download package that goes into people and it actually mollifies their chakras, right? So I was getting, there was some of that going on, and in fact I wouldn't mind at the end just doing a 5 minute imprint sweep out.
Please be my guest.
Clearing. Okay.
Be my guest now. Well, you are being my guest. So, actually, a very superfluous. It's just so that I could just kind of join in and say hi. I'm still here. And
yep.
Anyway, so being in the audience, kind of the over the TV. Many people have been talking about these virus implants that like. Come over the TV and stuff like that, and come
that's
across
right.
the ethers.
That's right.
And there doesn't seem to be like, how can that happen? How can a virus get downloaded into your head? What's the deal with that?
Okay. And by the way, they're attacking me again right now. They're compressing my chest again, like they were doing before.
Oh, okay.
So if we were on Skype, they would be making a lot of noise right now. So I'm just communicating. This is a hot topic because they're trying to squish me for talking about it. First of all, we do not understand esoteric technology as a race because we have been kept ignorant of it, okay? You can send energy, you can send good energy, you can send bad energy, you can send energy packages, you can send energy as information. When people send healing, they can send a healing package to somebody and it's delivered. It can be delivered through their guides. It can be delivered just simply because they intend it and it goes. If they have enough voltage as a being, they can do that, okay? And by voltage, I mean, you know, enough frequency that they can actually move energy around. If you are dead as a dodo energetically, you're not going to have enough energy to move energy around, which is one of the reasons which they keep us sick and ill and blocked, okay? This is also why a lot of people that do this kind of work get sick, because they get attacked a lot, even in strange ways, okay? Now, just like the healers can send good stuff, the bad guys can send bad stuff. And if you're completely open and you're not aware, you can receive these packages, right? Now, and in this particular case, very often the package, like, it's one thing, most people understand psychic attack. They understand that there can be a being that comes through the astral plane and kind of beats you up, right? Like it's happening right now. But they don't necessarily understand that they can also send energetic imprints that are not the same thing as an entity coming at you. It's more like a thought form coming at you, a magical package coming at you, like magical in the negative sense, something that distorts your field, something that distorts your ability to tap into your chakras, something that modifies the way that in which that chakra works and so on. Now, they don't always stick, these kind of things, but, you know, they're just throwing them out like Smarties, right? Like, then they will stick somewhere. You know? So, but if you're, most of it is, like, everybody should clear their field every single day, just the same way that we brush our teeth, but because we don't have awareness of that, then people's fields get loaded with all sorts of stuff, right? And if you watch a lot of these things, you can end up receiving some of these kind of imprints if they are sending them out. And this time it felt that they were doing that, that they were kind of sending out some of these imprints. Okay? Does that answer your question?
Yeah. So do you think that's anything to do with the massive amount of chemtrail spraying as well?
No. This is pure magic.
Yes.
Magic.
Okay. I saw a thing about chemtrails, but that would be another thing.
Yeah.
So, in terms of the magic, talk about that.
Yeah, this is dark magic. Which is basically the gist of what does dark magic even mean? It means dark energy work. I do energy work, but I try not to mess with people. I know that if I do, I'll have to reincarnate as a, you know, bad things will happen to me.
You have to reincarnate as a healer, and you'd be telling people how to. Oh. Right. Anyway, meanwhile,
you know, then I would have to marry all of the people that I harmed.
Oh yeah, and live with them all.
Have millions of divorces.
Yeah. Oh my god. Yeah. Over and you over know, again, so like a terrible Groundhog Day of marriage and relationship.
That's right. So after a while, you realize, but these guys are young souls. They haven't realized yet that they're going to get whacked later. So they're still playing around.
Playing whack-a-soul.
That's right. So, but yeah, black magic, dark magic, all that it is that it is energy work that is used for ill. It's energy work that is used for power, to get power, to become more powerful, and to become more powerful. That's pretty much what they want. Power, 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 right? Power is what you want when you have disconnected from source, because if you're connected to source, you know that you don't need power. You know, the whatever power you have comes from your connection to universal consciousness and love and so on. But if you are a disconnected being, you need to feel powerful to do that, because otherwise you would feel horrible. So to do that, you have to get it from the outside. To get it from the outside, you have to manipulate people into giving you stuff that they don't want to give you. And you have to find ways to climb on top of everybody else's head to become at the top of the pile and so on. And a lot of the entities that are involved in the behind the scenes are also disconnected from source. So you've got a whole bunch of people that are playing on the disconnected side, right, that are trying to become more and more powerful. Power can become an addiction, by the way. You can literally be addicted to power, and a lot of these people are addicted to power because it gives you a rush, right? So it's like the self becomes bigger and bigger, and there's some kind of rush that comes from that fattening of the self. Okay. So there was some of that kind of going on with this thingy. And then last scene of the ritual, we have Katy Perry, and I have my own theory about this one. I don't know if it's valid or not. If I had had more time, I would have been able to look into it better. But my theory is that, first of all, she comes out and she's flying on a drone, right, which I think is kind of interesting, getting us used to the little drones, right? So she's flying on some.
Oh yes, of course, little drones that can be used for delivering your pizza and your movies and your Amazon books and but we already know. I mean, we've already been informed that drones have been used to kill people for a long, long time. They've been weaponized long before they were civilized, and they're still weaponized. And it's just like, oh. You have to.
Yep.
Why do you have to? With everything. Just with everything. So many things that could be used for fantastic goodness. And, yeah, let's kill people with it. What a good idea.
And spy on people with it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And like, let's plug wires into their brains, or even not, you know, just manipulate them with microwaves and frequencies. Why not? Mm. Why not fry specific areas of their brain just for our... Anyway, sorry, end of rant.
Mm-hmm. Good rant. Okay. So, Katy Perry, she's on the drone, she's flying around, and she's dressed in a white dress with one leg sticking out, and she has a star on top of her head, and she has all over her dress, there's all of these stars that are five-pointed stars, right? They're not six-pointed stars, they're five-pointed stars. Now, maybe all stars are five-pointed stars, but we know the five-pointed star is a symbol of magic and a symbol of man. You know, when it's upside down, it's definitely... I'm sure there was a few upside-down ones in the middle of all of those. She had a bunch of them, like hundreds of them, right? Okay. So she's carrying star energy. If I say to you, who is the star, what would you say? What's the first thing that comes to mind?
Isis.
Isis, and that's good.
Lucifer is the morning star, isn't it?
Yay, Lucifer is the morning star, yay.
And the evening star.
And it was evening, but, you know, I'm sure that it's that new dawn. First of all, there's a new dawn. She's all dressed in... She's made the transformation from Whore of Babylon to the white version, right, of the goddess. So you have the rebirth of the goddess. And she's going into light. Very often in the dark, we call light... For us, it's a good thing, right? But in the dark system, light is Lucifer. So she's light now. That's Lucifer also. And then she's got all the five stars. That's the magic. And by the way, in one of the songs, when she entered onto the checkerboard, she was singing the part of the Dark Horse song that says, so you want to play with magic. So magic is mentioned through the ritual, okay? And then she's in this goddess pose on top of the drone, flying around with all the stars and the star on the head. And when I looked at that, the first thing that came to mind was the Statue of Liberty, which, as we know, is one of... Freeman, I think, has done a lot of research on this, that the Statue of Liberty is connected to Semiramis, who... Do you know what her title was? She's the Babylon version of Isis, right? Okay, so she connects to Isis, and she was the queen of Babylon. So we start with the Whore of Babylon, and we end with the queen of Babylon.
Yeah, nice work.
Okay, nice work. So we've been through this whole transformation, we've got the dark whore, and then we go into the light queen, right? And so she's ascending, she's going up, she's ascending in her... in the ranks and in the order. Maybe she's made that transformation even in her own, you know, hierarchy inside of whatever order that she's in. Because remember that whoever gets to perform in these things kind of goes up a level, right? And they were already hinting at the fact that they were... When I saw that they were doing the Ice Bucket Challenge and she nominated Madonna, I was like, she's going up, right? Because she gets to play with Madonna now, so now she's going into the higher tier, right? And sure enough, then she appears here, and then towards the end, she is going into Statue of Liberty Queen kind of thing, okay? Some people have also said that this can be another card in the tarot that is the star, right? Which I believe is associated with the energy of Aquarius, right? And sometimes the New World Order is also referred to as the Age of Aquarius. We have a certain version of the New Age that is not as friendly as it seems, right?
Well, there's the whole Aleister Crowley thing, isn't it? That every man and woman is a star. Do you want to take a sip of water while I cover the air?
No, I'm good. Okay. I'm just chugging stuff, but I'm fine.
Okay, good. So there she is. So how many cards have we had? Is this a 5-card trick? Is this?
I think this is the third. I only saw 3 tower cards. Right?
Okay.
So the first one, that was the strength card. However, they were using the Aleister Crowley version, and that card in the Aleister Crowley deck is renamed as Lust, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Aleister Crowley. That deck is actually a really great deck for anybody that wants to do tarot. You clean it up a little bit. Energetically, you can still use it. It's good imagery. And so then after that, there's the theme of the High Priestess is that there's more than once that she's inside the two pillars. Whenever you see a woman that stands in between two pillars, usually they're talking about a High Priestess. And High Priestess with the two pillars is usually a Masonic High Priestess. And then we know that the Masonry tradition is, you know, we talk about Satanic and Masonic as if they're two different things, and they are and they aren't, if you know what I mean. At the higher levels, they're the same thing. Okay. At the lower levels, not so much, but as you go further up, then they start to merge, okay? And the... so there's that image that comes through very strongly. And then we go into the whole Missy Elliott energy that brings in all of this kind of smut, horror Babylon kind of vibe, right? Which a lot of the time they do invoke sexual energy, even just to fuel a ritual, right? But also, again, with Katy Perry especially, Katy Perry is somebody... A lot of these female artists, they're used a lot to imprint women with this new idea of who women are supposed to be, and the new women of the Illuminati, the empowerment equals be out and screw as many people as you can and have sex with goats and, you know, and kiss girls if you're a girl and do whatever you want to do. Do you know what I mean? It's like this free-for-all sexuality.
Yeah, it's Bill Hicks's goat boy kind of mentality, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, your big hairy thing.
Yeah. And, you know, they're kind of really pushing this whole liberation equals unbridled sexuality. And actually, I've talked about this so many times, so I don't want to be like the Puritan on the block here. But I think that if you want to really hurt a woman in their natural state, right, like the natural state, especially when they're young, when they're teenagers or whatever, make them have very indiscriminate sex with a lot of people with whom there's no emotional bonds, and you will see a lot of these women, they will become attached through oxytocin bonding to men that don't give a crap about them. And they will get hurt, and they will get injured, and at the same time, their self-worth will go down the toilet. It's actually very bad, I think, for young women to play in that kind of field, and it does often end up backfiring on them, even if it's, like, supposedly so liberating. It's actually not always very good for the women energetically to do that, especially when they're very young.
Well, right? It's heartbreaking.
Which is like women, especially when they're young, they can kind of convince themselves at times that it's good, we can do this and that, and then they often get bonded to the men that they play around with, but then it doesn't really go anywhere. Do you know what I mean? So it can generate a lot of heartbreak, which then, if that is the beginning of your experience, then you're set up with this kind of like difficult, fragmenting kind of experience. And I think it's actually an attack on women rather than a liberation on women. I think it's something that is designed to hurt the true femininity of the woman, right? in fact, in some ways, that behaviour is kind of masculine, you know. Not that there can be any judgment about what the masculine and feminine do, but it's not an energy that I think fits very well with the feminine, or at least a certain kind of feminine that has some vulnerability in it, okay? And I think that a lot of what happened in the 60s that was like burn your bras and do whatever has actually backfired in terms of women's ability to find their committed mates to have relationships with and marriages that are solid and last and all of those kind of things. And now I've started sounding like a conservative, so I'm going to stop. Okay.
Right, so just before you start advertising for bullets and guns.
I'm not that backwards, but no. I think people understand what it is that I'm trying to say.
Yeah, but I'd like to add something to that. And it's about the disconnection that we are... that we are watching. It's almost like it's a bug in the system. It's like a bug in the software that can easily flip somebody over. It's a bit like, you know, we're all turtles and somebody knows how this little trick, you just kind of, you know, put your boot under its tail and flick it and the thing will flip over and, look at that little poor little turtle. Or, you know, look at that stupid little, you know, like it's just kind of nasty little bully trick that people can play on humans. It's because of this little bug in the system.
Carry on.
Go.
I was just going to say that there's something else about it that's coming through that is it destroys the sacred aspect of sexuality. It kind of takes out the whole sacred aspect of sexuality that is about people... bonding in a very deep way, and it's about intimacy, and it's about respect, and it's about love, and all of those kind of things. There's nothing about love in any of these, you know, go out and kiss a horse, right? Which is Miley Cyrus, one of Miley Cyrus's videos. She goes out and kisses a horse, and it's like, oh, great.
How gross.
All right. Very, so anyway.
Does it, the breath smell of grass, you know? Like...
Horror Babylon programming. You know, Horror Babylon programming. They're really pushing it. They're pushing it, and you have to think about it. If they're pushing it, there's a reason. It's not because it's good for you. It's because it's bad for you. If they're pushing it, they're doing it because. And also, the other side of a certain kind of sexuality, it allows for the entry of the entities through the second chakra. That is one of the reasons for which pornography is everywhere, because that particular kind of energy. Is very good at you know, when people have orgasms, their second chakra opens, and then all the creatures come in, you know? It's nice.
So, to that end, I'd like to say, you said that we will do a little moment to help everybody cleansing and protecting, could I say that?
Yeah, mostly cleansing, I would say, at this point, because I would like to do it personal and collective, if we can. It won't take long, okay? So shall I start?
Take your time. We've got about 20 minutes now till the end of the show, so
okay.
Take your time. We have, it's just great, we're all here. I hope that the protection that I sent will help you with your breathing.
On you go. Actually, it does. I'm breathing now, so it's good. They just don't like it when I... What did they didn't... There was something they really didn't like. It was squishing me really bad. I don't remember now. I was so focused on trying to talk that I can't remember what I was talking about.
Good. Anyway, we'll so this is... So, brothers and sisters, if you want to make yourselves comfortable... Just as much as you can, and Katie will help you work out how to show you how to deprogram yourself, remove entities, and or whatever you're going to be doing. I don't know what you're going to be doing.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you for doing what you're going to be doing. I don't know what you're going to do.
Yeah. Okay. Well, first of all, center your attention to your heart. And imagine that in the middle of your heart chakra, that is right in the middle of your chest, there is a point of light. That is actually the center of your heart chakra. And it is also the center of your being. And imagine that that point is now connecting to the core of creation and source energy from which you stem. It's also connected to the core of your soul energy. And by soul energy, I mean the part of you that is eternal and that travels between all incarnations. Not necessarily the part that is in you, but the part that is you eternally, okay? And imagine that these three points are connected. You can imagine the point inside you lighting up with gold, connecting to the point above you, that is your soul, and then connecting way far above you to the center of source and creation. Now, this is just a visual aid so that you can connect to these energies. This is not necessarily how it works, but it will help you to just connect and visualize these points. Now, allow for the source energy to come through and to move through down to your soul and then into your heart and into the point inside your heart. Also, I'm being told here, allow for the energy to move through your soul, and as it comes into your heart, to download into your heart and into your mental bodies the memory of who you are at the higher levels. Not necessarily the memories of every life that you have lived, because you don't really want that right now, but the memory of your true essence, of who you are as a being. Because most of the people that listen to this kind of stuff are high beings that have been traveling into various planes, not just the earth plane, but various planes like the Orion Wars and Maldek and all sorts of other places where things have happened that have required for the warrior souls to come in and incarnate and help to restore worlds where the balance between light and dark had gone out of whack. Okay? And this is pretty much what we're doing here. We are helping this world, the earth plane, to make a transition into a more balanced state after many, many eons in which the earth has actually been in a state that has tilted towards darkness, often through manipulation. So when there is manipulation, source allows for light energy to come in to redress balances. Okay? So it's important that you remember who you are, because despite all of the stresses of your day-to-day lives and trying to pay the bills and, you know, issues with health and all sorts of things that may be going on in your lives with your children and, you know, in the day-to-day, you're all beautiful souls, beings of light that are here to do great work, often together, and it is important that you remember who you are at every level, that you reconnect with the energy of your soul and you reconnect with the energy of Creator, so that you do not lose faith at any time, knowing that you have the infinity of source energy always at your beck and call, always there to help you and support you ride through any crises, any difficulty, any initiation, and also any issue of this kind where you need extra energy to clear your field. Okay? So allow for the energy to come in and to dust off your field, your energy field, that is like an egg of energy all around you, and allow for the gold energy of source to come in and reboot what needs rebooting, bring energy to what is needing energy, and bringing energy into the chakra system and powering it back up and clearing out blockages, and see the energy moving gradually from the root chakra at the bottom of your spine up to the crown, and then from the crown down to the root chakra again, and going through every single chakra and clearing every single one of them out. And as this happens, any of these imprints that may have been downloaded into your being, see them literally explode out. They cannot coexist with this energy. And you, in your mind, just say, I would like all of these imprints out. If there's any old ones that are not from now and from the Super Bowl, that come from some other time, please remove them. Imprints and implants of any kind, thought forms that are not my own, anything that is in my way, and that is no longer for my highest good that needs to be removed right now. And also ask that if there's a lot of stuff, that it be, that it happen gradually over a period of time that you can assimilate, because you don't want to just go into some major healing crises, okay? So we're going to set it up so that if there's a lot of stuff, the clearing happens gradually so that it's not too much for your system, okay? Now, I'm also being told here that if there's any imprints that come from any of your past lives in which you've had to deal with this kind of energy, especially in old past lives, like the Atlantean past lives and the Egyptian past lives, a lot of us were around at that time. We were doing exactly what we're doing now, and the game did not come out quite in our favor at the time. So there was a lot of damage that happened to many beings that were shut down, often purposely through magic. So ask that any magic that has shut you down through all of your incarnations, all the way back even 250,000, 300,000 years on this planet, and even ones on other planets, as for any magic that has been blocking you in any way, to be removed. Okay? And if there's any residual karma attached to that, you can ask for that to go as well. And again, we ask that if there's a lot of stuff, all of this be cleared in a way and over a period of time that you can easily integrate and assimilate with grace and ease. And if it happens to be months, then it's months, okay? Some of these clearings, they're fast, but they're powerful, all right? And then I am also being shown here to send light to everyone's third eye and to clear the third eye, and to the degree that is for the highest good of each being, that the third eye be cleared and activated so that you're able to receive truth and so that you're able to see truth. You're able to see it, but also able to receive it so that you're able to discern even when you hear it, if you're hearing truth, if you're seeing truth, if you're receiving truth. One of the things that it does say in the Bible, even if I'm not a Bible person, is that there's this particular time is also the time of false prophets, so it's very important for people to be able to distinguish between information. There's a lot of dark posing as light, and there's also not just that, but even people who just get carried away by their own egos and they become vessels without knowing it, okay? So very important that you're able to see truth, receive truth, and discern truth. And to do that, the more clear your third eye is, the better it will be.
The eye of revelation, which actually comes through right relationship, because you cannot, because it's the displacement of the fifth ray, the fourth ray, and the seventh ray through abuse. Yeah,
Interesting.
The fifth ray, which is concretion or knowledge, comes down to the sacral center due to the abuse. The fourth ray goes from harmony to conflict in the brow center, and that's why people can't see the truth. And the seventh ray goes into the base center, which means that you have to be part of the group in order to. And then when you start moving into right relationship, that means the seventh ray goes into the sacral center, which you start brings order into relationships. Yeah, which is the opposite of abuse. And then the fifth ray moves up to the brow center, giving the eye of revelation, which is what you're talking about. And the fourth ray goes down to the base center, which gives you skill in action, allows you to be in the moment and know the right thing to do.
Excellent. Thank you, JP. Now,
there's the thing.
Thank you for that. And There's one more piece. I'm trying to see what it is. Okay. I'm seeing it's something to do with the spine. So it's okay. So the energy, see the energy from source actually going down your spine and your channel at the back, because we have a front channel where the chakras are on, but we also have a back one that goes down the spine. So I'm seeing energy coming in to clear that channel, and through that channel it's going up to the crown chakra, and each one of the crown chakras is also being pulsed with the gold light of source. And as that happens, the crown chakra is opening, and for each one it's opening to the degree that is for the highest good, because not everybody is ready for the same thing at exactly the same time. And now I'm also seeing the throat chakra opening and being cleared out with this same energy. And the energy that's going into the throat chakra is about speaking truth. Maybe it's time for, because a lot of us know the truth, that we always speak it. Sometimes we do amongst ourselves, that we always speak it every time when it's safe to do so. And sometimes that's wise, right? But maybe a time in which it is more important to speak truth is coming. Because this feels like something, it's almost like as a collective of souls that are here to do the same thing, we're kind of going through very similar transitions at the same time.
I think so, you're right. There's a lot about becoming in your voice, you opening your voice.
Absolutely.
And finding your voice. And continue.
All right. So we're just clearing everybody's throat chakras right now. Okay, and then I'm being told here, again, past lives, throat chakra. A lot of people got killed in other lives for using their throat chakra. So a lot of people are hesitant to use that all the way again and speak out. And that does not mean, you know, a lot of us do speak out. It's not about that. I speak all the time, but you can still have a throat chakra blockage around it, even when you're doing it, okay? Because you may have lives in which that didn't go so well for you at the time to do that, okay? So we're going to ask for a clearing for residual blockages in the throat chakra so that people may be more empowered and feel safer in speaking out, okay? And then the last piece that I'm seeing here is the hurt. The strongest thing that a true warrior has is their hurt, right? If you're a warrior without hurt, then you have gone to the dark side, right? Because you're driven by anger and hate. If you're driven by love, then you are using your nobility and you're serving your cause. And by warrior, I don't necessarily mean going out and fighting, but I mean standing tall next to the causes that you believe in and that you have chosen to embody in this lifetime, okay? And each one has their own piece of the puzzle here as to what needs to be done, and every person inside knows to some degree what that is. And the last piece before we close is, at the beginning we were talking about downloading from your soul the memory of who you are and your true essence, infinite and eternal. And we close by asking also that you download your true mission up to date for right now, so that you may be reminded of the reason for which you came here, and knowing that we all incarnated with a mission that we were able to do and with a lot of support in doing it. Right, like JP, for example, he's been my support system in doing mine. So I thank you.
Well,
supported you a bit.
Totally,
well.
Totally. Yeah. It's a mutual support system. It's a network of people who just for some natural reason feel a love and a care and a want to help each other. And
yep.
There's never conflict because we know we're on the same page. And it's a beautiful thing. So thank you. Anyway, so should we Should we get everybody back into their thing and stop this?
Yeah,
thing
so there? Everybody can come back into their bodies, and you know, you can shake your aura a little bit the same way that a dog will shake off the water from its fur. Like, you can spin your aura a little, get rid of any extra energy, get rid of any of the stuff that's been clearing. And the very last thing is to remind everybody that everybody has higher dimensional teams of beings, so they're working with them. The higher dimensionals have gotten a bit of a bad rep because there's a lot of people out there talking about that everything from the other side is a deceiver. It's not true. There's deceiving ones, but there's also really pure high ones. There are family on the other side, and they are there to help us to get stuff done. So get in touch with that and ask for support whenever you need it. And obviously, you know, you can invoke the energy of source direct as well. Okay?
So, there we go. Are you still there, Katie?
Yep, I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm still alive.
That's like, wait, hey, she suddenly stopped.
I'm still alive.
Yeah, oh, good, good, good. They haven't gotten to you, those little,
no.
Sucked you off into near the zone.
They're trying really hard.
They're trying. Hey, well, you use extra dimensional technologies to prevent this kind of thing. I have to say, all right, after all this, my feeling is that they didn't, that the Super Bowl thing, that the magic was a bit damp. It got a bit...
Yeah.
It was... I got the feeling that the magic had been, what's the word, usurped or drained,
yep,
slightly. So the power wasn't there. And I think that they may be a little confused about this. And I think that this is the result of all the people who have been meditating on
absolutely.
This.
Absolutely.
And I want to say thank you to everybody who did see the call for this and did put some kind of positive energy or some awareness, observant kind of energy towards the Super Bowl and the whole ritual of it and recognizing it. And I think we've gone a long way from where we were 4 years ago, Katie, you and I, into understand that we are not now alone in understanding this.
No, it's true. And in fact, yesterday I was listening to, you know, that broadcast that was going on, and it was like, okay, now everybody gets it. But a few years ago, nobody was getting any of this. Do you know what I mean? But now it seems that it's made it at least into our own micromass consciousness that these things are happening and how they're happening. And as I say, when I started talking about this, I'm very aware of it because it felt very uncomfortable at the beginning because it felt that I was talking about stuff that was really out there. Do you know what I mean? And now it feels that I would say about 99% of the people that are at least in our groups all get it. So,
God, we're almost mainstream, Kate. Let's get weird.
I know. I don't think you can get any weirder, and maybe that's not the point. But it's been fun being there's some fun in breaking ice, right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's like an avant-garde, and I've always kind of liked to be in sort of avant-garde. You know, let's just see what happens. And allow the spirit to speak and see what happens. Give space to the spirit. And that, you know, that's one of the things about the station, Wolf Spirit Radio, is there's a wolf inside of us and we can, give it some speak, give it some voice. So we're about done with, journeys for this evening. Thank you so much, Katie. I know you as usual, you say, I'm only humming on for 5 minutes, and you spent 3 hours explaining right. in great detail
like,
your...
fog you a whole show.
Past knowledge. No, it's brilliant. It's brilliant. You've really laid it out. You put it into context, you know, because we're getting past the disbelief of it. We're getting past the livid anger of it all. And now we're saying, right, okay, we accept what you're doing. We accept that is what you're doing. We're now going through the cycle of, right, we're going to do something about it, and that's it. And we're going to empower
absolutely.
Ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we all see that. So We got a couple of minutes left, or maybe only a minute. Katie, say goodnight and get everybody coming to your website and clicking subscribe or donate or stuff like that. Or actually having a consultation.
Yeah, my website is katiegalanti.com or reclaimingthelight.com. It's actually the same website. And I also have a YouTube channel that is called Katie Cosmic Essence. And I have a Facebook page. I have two. One is a conspiracy-based one that is Katie Galanti 2, and the other one is a normal, just goof-around one that's just Katie Galanti, okay? You're welcome to join me on the social media thing. I'm on there a lot, and it's part of my collective mission. And in terms of, you know, my work, I do energy clearings, I do consultations, and all sorts of other stuff that you will see on my site. Okay? And that's it.
So, book a session with Katie, because she's really good. She's actually more than really good. You're quite amazing in your insight and your empathy. A real shamanic thing going on. All right. Well, there we go.
Okay.
We're out.
Great.
Thank you so much, Katie, once again.
Lots of love. Bye.
Lots of love. Bye now. Bye, everybody. Lots of love. All right. So I'm just...